You're listening to the Qalam Institute podcast series, Ramadan Reflections by Mufti Hussein Kamani. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Qalam Institute.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. Khususan ala sayyidi rasuli wa khatami al-anbiya wa ala alihi laskiya wa ashabihi latqiya amma ba'd. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in one very beautiful narration, divided the month of Ramadan into three portions. First 10 days, middle 10 days, and the last 10 days. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam highlighted a very unique bounty of Allah in each of these 10 days. The first 10 days, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, these are the days of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The middle 10 days, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, these are the 10 days to seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last 10 days, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, these are the 10 days to protect yourself and free yourself from the fire of hell. The first 10 days have passed by. And we are now in the middle of the middle 10 days. And just a few days from now, before we will know it, the announcement will be made on Jumu'ah that now we are in the last 10 days of Ramadan. Right. We'll be right at the doorstep and right into the last 10 days of Ramadan. And where will the first 20 days be gone? And before you know it, it's Eid time, and where has Ramadan gone? So we have to value the moment that we have with us today. Let's use these 10 days to seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all know what our reality is. Sometimes because someone may come and praise us, we forget about who we actually are. And it seems as if when we step out of our house, we forget about how evil we are from within ourselves when we're at home. And it seems as if someone, as soon as someone praises us, we forget about all of our faults and all the blackness that we know for a fact is covering our heart. We forget it all in just a single moment, just by a few words of praise. My teacher told me this story once. He said there was a man whose father was passing away, and he left behind a cow. And he told his son, don't sell this cow until you really have to sell it. So he took care of the cow until the cow became sick. It wasn't giving milk anymore. He had to now purchase and spend on the cow, purchase food and goods and medicine and spend it on the cow. So rather than the cow being profit, it turned out being a huge expense on him. So he made an intention to go and sell it. So he went to the market and he said to the people, who will purchase this cow? Who will purchase this cow? For example, $5,000. Who's going to purchase this cow for $5,000? That was a market value. He came back in the evening and no one bought it from him. On the way back home, he bumped into this one guy. And this guy said to him, I was in the market today, and I saw that you were standing on top of the hill and you were asking who will buy your cow, who will buy your cow, and forget about anyone buying it. No one even looked towards you or made an offer. He said, tomorrow, give me your cow, and I will sell it for $50,000. How much? All you have to take is your $5,000 and go home. The other $45,000 is mine. So this guy said, wow, if you're going to sell it for $50,000 and I get my $5,000, of course. Tomorrow I'll see you. So next day he met this guy. Possibly the guy was Maimon. He took this cow. He climbed the mountain. And he said to the people, everyone gather around. I have something special. Special news. So everyone gathered around. He said, many, many years ago, when we were colonized by the British countries, right? By the British islands, when they moved to this country and when they conquered so-and-so city, the priest of the city, he gave a holy gift, not the priest, the pundit of the city, the religious figure of the city, he gave a holy gift to the king, and that was a cow. And that cow then mated with a bull, and they had 11 kids. And those 11 kids were distributed in different colonies, and this is the last of that lineage alive today. Everyone said, wow. No, 20,000, 30,000, 40,000, 50,000. The bid went almost up to 200,000. The guy who owned the cow, he said to the person, I didn't know my cow was worth that much. I'm taking it back home. And he took it back home. And my sheikh used to say, we laugh at him because he forgot the value of his cow just because of a few lies. We should learn to laugh at ourselves too sometimes. That we forgot our own values just because of a few lies that people said about us who in reality don't even know us. They've been fooled by a hat, a beard, and a gown, and a very nice tajweed, you know, and very nice presentation, and how, mashallah, when we meet each other, we shake hands firmly. You know, people these days when they shake hands, they don't shake hands. How do they do? Very firmly. And someone now who wants to speak Arabic, tajweed is something, well, maybe Khalid, someone can correct me, is that's kind of special with the Quran. And some people over push it with the Arabic language as well. You know, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That's all horrible to read, by the way, okay? But this is, and this is because of that extra push we put from our throat. Now we impose piety on us and we tell everyone, look, you know, I can say bid'ah. So now I'm a very pious person. And I can say yarhamukallah. So I'm a very pious person. We forget our own reality. And that's the sad thing. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tells us that sinning is not the problem. Sinning is something natural. Kullu bani Adam khatta. Every son of Adam sins. But the problem is that when we sin, we just stop. There's no follow-up after that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the best of those who sin are the ones who repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us something very beautiful regarding repentance, that at-ta'ibu min ad-dhanbi kaman la dhanbala. The one who repents from sin is as if he has no sin at all. It's so beautiful. You know, these days we have pencils. You write something with a pencil, you don't like what you wrote, all you have to do is turn the pencil around, take the eraser, and rub it out. You're writing a text message to someone, you misspelled something, you wrote something wrong, you realize that, no, I shouldn't put it this way, I should put it another way. All you have to do is hit the backspace button and delete it. You know how we have the delete button on our computers, the backspace button on our phones, and we have the eraser? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will erase all of our sins. All we have to say is sorry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's all we have to say. Oh Allah, I'm sorry. And the beautiful thing about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness is that there's no limit to it. It's not like in your entire life you can only say astaghfirullah to Allah 100 times. That's it. You only have 100 chances. Is that how it is? Yes or no? It's unlimited. Allah is saying unlimited access, as much as you want. You make a mistake now, say it. Say astaghfirullah, I'm sorry to Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yajid Allah ghafura rahima. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be found. You will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be very, very merciful. You will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be very, very kind, because that's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. You know, when we look at our sins and our past, I'm sure that many of us have committed some grave sins that we are aware of. But when we look at the people that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam referenced in the hadith who committed some major sins, in reality, we really don't stand much chance in front of those people. We really don't stand much in front of them. You know, we find in the hadith an incident of a man from Bani Israel. He killed so many people and had done so much bad to his community. He killed people, he committed robbery, he did zina. He was a very bad person. The community was very pious, but he was a bad person. So the people of the community made a decision that they were going to kick him out. So they kicked him out. They banished him from the city, made him live outside in the outskirts. This man was living there alone. No one would come to visit him. No one would come to meet him. He was just there alone all by himself. You know, he became very sick, he became very ill. He couldn't even move his body. And the last moments of his life, he made dua to Allah saying, oh Allah, you forgiving me or you punishing me is not going to increase you in anything. You are the way you are. But if you forgive me, I will be elevated into Jannah. The people of the world have lost hope in me. I don't want you, Allah, to lose hope in me as well. And with this, he passed away. The narrations mention that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet of the time that a servant of mine, a beloved of mine, has just passed away. And you should go and read janazah on him. And anyone that reads janazah on him will also be forgiven by me. The entire community gathered together and they went to go read janazah on that person. When they saw him, they said, this guy, we kicked him out. And then the messenger said to them that this person repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the one who repents to Allah frequently, that person is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So never ever lose hope in yourself. Have you guys ever heard of the name of Fudayl bin Iyad? Yes, no? You ever heard of that name? Fudayl bin Iyad was a very pious man. He was so pious that he was given a title by the people of his time. You know what the title was? Abid al-Haramain. The worshipper of the two sacred lands. They say regarding him that there was no place in the mosque of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or in the Haram of Makkah in which he hadn't done sajda and cried in front of Allah. Imagine that. There was no place, to say, in Masjid al-Nabwi or Baytullah al-Haram where he hadn't done sajda and cried in front of Allah. He cried so much, so much. He was known as Abid al-Haramain, the worshipper of the two sacred lands. You know, before he became a pious person, what he used to do, anyone know? Yes, he was a highway robber. This is what he used to do. One day he went to go rob a house, he climbed over the wall. When he climbed over the wall, he heard the people in the house having a conversation. One person said to the other, it's time for us to go on our journey. We need to start our journey, otherwise we're going to be late at our destination. The other one said, no, we can't leave at this hour, because if we leave at this hour, Fudayl bin Iyad is going to rob us. So Fudayl bin Iyad was listening to all of this, And he thought to himself, SubhanAllah, the Muslims are scared to leave their house because of me. And then he says, I heard a voice from the unseen. A verse of the Quran was recited. أَلَمْ يَأْنِنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. That has a time not come for those who believe that their hearts fear Allah after the truth has come in front of them? And then after this, Fudail bin Ayyad did Tawbah. He repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from being that great highway robber, and now he became big sheikh, mashallah. And today, whenever we say Fudail bin Ayyad's name, we always say, Rahimahullah, rahmatan wasi'ah. May Allah encompass him in his wide mercy and his rahmatan wasi'ah. We make this dua for him because he made a big change in his life. I'll share with you guys a story. I was born in a town called Elizabethtown in a state called Kentucky. And Elizabethtown already sounds boof, right? Like, who's heard of Elizabethtown? Very small Muslim community there. We don't have a single Muslim store. We have, mashallah, we have a masjid now. We have a lot of Muslim families there. It's growing, but we don't have a single Muslim store. Halal meat is out of the window, not even imaginable. So what we used to do is the imam of our community when we were younger, he used to drive out every few months with a big van, and go to a nearby state go to a farm and pick up a whole load of halal meat and bring it back and sell it to all the families. And it was from the masjid, and everyone would then have the opportunity to eat halal meat. It was a very beautiful thing. So one day he was going for his journey to go pick up the meat, and he said to me, Hussein, I need some company, jump with me. I said, no problem. I was like maybe 12, 13 years old. I got inside the car, we were driving, and I said to him, Sheikh, if you don't mind, can I put a nasheed cassette inside? We used to have cassettes in those days. Can I put a cassette in the car? He said, yes, go ahead. So I had one of those cassettes that I had recorded in madrasa. It had nasheeds on it, some poetry. And when I put it inside, he was listening to it, and then he started laughing. And then he turned the cassette off, and he said to me, this is an Indian song. I looked at him, and I said, Sheikh, how do you know? Right? I mean, that's a fair question, right? How do you know, Sheikh, right? And he said, forget it. No, I'll sing the song for you. And he started singing it. He sang the full track. And I was like, wow, this is super sheikh, mashallah. This guy knows the full Indian song. Now, how bad does that sound, right? It looks terrible. He saw the shock on my face and he said to me, Hussein, relax. Let me tell you something. And subhanAllah, the thing he said to me next, I can say with no doubt at all, was one of the most profound things I heard in my entire life. The next thing that he said. And it was so powerful that I think I caused many changes in my life just because of that one sentence he said when I was 13 years old. He doesn't even remember he said it. And what was that statement he said? He said, Hussein, everyone has a past. Only the smart know when it's time to move forward. Very powerful. He said, even I had a past. Everyone has a past. But only the smart know when it's time to move forward. And Fudail bin Ayyad also had a past. But you can't make fun of his past because he knew when it was time for him to move forward. Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu had a pass. Khalid bin Walid had a pass. Amr bin As had a pass. Suhail bin Amr had a pass. But they realized that was a pass, and they realized when it was time for them to move forward. So we should always remember that this is the month of Ramadan. Let's cry in front of Allah and let's ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. Let's ask Allah to forgive our parents. Let's ask Allah to forgive our friends. Let's ask Allah to forgive our children. Don't just ask forgiveness for yourself. How is it going to be on the Day of Judgment if you're going to Jannah and your small, young, innocent child is going to the fire of hell? Or how is it going to be if you're going to Jannah and your parents are going to the fire of hell? How would you feel about that? You have to ask forgiveness for everyone. The entire ummah, make tawbah on behalf of everyone. That should be your concern, that you want everyone to learn. You want everyone to be a part of the good that you have. I'll share with you guys one more incident of Malik bin Dinar. He says, one day I was at home praying salah. Malik bin Dinar, for those of you who don't know, was a very pious, righteous individual. He was praying salah at home one day, and a robber jumped over his wall and was in the act of robbery while he was praying salah. So he was praying a salah, and the robber was walking around, checking everything out. And at the end, when Malik bin Dinar finished his salah off, the reason why Malik bin Dinar didn't hurry his prayer is because he knew he didn't have anything at home. So when he finished his salah, assalamu alaikum, he turned around, he looked at the robber, Malik bin Dinar was very calm. He looked at the robber and he said, brother, I'm sorry, I don't have anything to give to you. I know you've been searching the house, but there's nothing for you to take. But however, before you go, I'd like to offer you one thing. He said, okay. So Malik bin Dinar went inside, he bought a vase with water in it and presented it to the person. He said, I'd like to offer you water to do wudu. And then I will step to the side and I want you to pray 2 rakat on my musalla. And you thought you were going to find the goods of this world in this house, I can promise you the goods of the hereafter in Jannah, inshallah, if you pray 2 rakat tahajjud right now. Man, subhanAllah, even the robbers at the time had some saliqah. Even they had some decency. The robber said, okay, no problem. He did wudu. He stood on Malik bin Dinar musalla. He prayed 2 rakat. After 2 rakat was over, it was time for him to leave. But Malik bin Dinar saw in his face that he wasn't satisfied. So he said to Malik bin Dinar, can I pray 2 more rakat? Malik bin Dinar said, the musalla is yours. I'll do tasbih on the side. So he says, the man prayed tahajjud salah all night. When morning time came, Malik bin Dinar said, it was nice sitting with you. We had a nice night together. That was his night with the robber. And the robber said, you know, Sheikh, I don't know, I just felt like I'm fasting today. So can I spend the night? Can I spend the day at your house too? He said, I decided to keep a fast. I'm fasting today. Can I spend the day at your house? Malik bin Dinar said, no problem. Malik bin Dinar said to him, stay as long as you want. And a few days passed by, and he just stayed at Malik bin Dinar's house. He stayed there. He started doing his dhikr, praying his salah, reading tasbihat, and making dua, and fasting. He was a robber, by the way, okay? Now, finally, when he does leave the house, he says to Malik bin Dinar that just you offering me the mercy of Allah, you know, you showed me Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy has changed me so much, I promise I will never rob anyone again. And Malik bin Dinar said, if you are truthful in your statement, then you will have great reward in the hereafter. When he left the house, one of his buddies met him and said, man, you went to rob Malik bin Dinar's house and you were gone. You must have scraped everything out of there. So he said, I didn't take anything from worldly possessions, but I think I just might have walked out with Jannah out of that house right now. Subhanallah. This is how we should be. Constantly crying in front of Allah, making tawbah in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made istighfar and tawbah to Allah 100 times every day. Is that true or false? It's very true. And when you make istighfar and tawbah, not only does Allah forgive you, but there is a reward for the act of repenting to Allah. Yes? So what happens in essence is that if I took a pencil and I wrote something, and then I took the eraser and I wiped it out, what remains on the paper? Imprints, right? There's still some imprints there. You can still see the imprints. So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does is that someone may object on the Day of Judgment that, oh, there was something here once upon a time. I can see something's missing there. So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does is that when we make istighfar and tawbah, Allah gives us good deeds and writes us good deeds in the place of the bad deeds. So even if someone was to look at it, he can't even see there was anything wrong there to begin with. So let us repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One thing I'll say before I close, that when we do sin, there are certain things we should consider. Sinning is a part of us. But however, when we do sin, we should never ever expose our sins to anyone. This is a very big problem that happens in our community. People, when they sin openly. They go on Facebook, they go on Twitter, and they say, I like this, and she looks like this, and he looks like this. And they go and they talk about their sins in front of people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, one of his names is what? Sattar. Sattar means someone who conceals excessively, someone who covers everything we do. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is covering our sins, and here we are exposing our sins. And I'll end with the beautiful conditions that Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi has taught us from Riyad al-Salihin, the 3 conditions of repentance. If a person wishes to repent to Allah sincerely, there are 3 conditions you must meet. The first thing, tarkul ma'asiyah. Whatever sin you're doing, you have to leave it. You can't say astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah while you're still listening to haram as well. You need to take your headphones off first. Okay? So first of all, tarkul ma'asiyah. The second thing, an-nadama. You have to have regret and remorse over the sin. You can't be proud over your sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like those who are proud over their sins. And the third thing, you have to make a promise never ever to go back to that sin. Hasan al-Basri also adds another very beautiful condition. He says, you must cut off every pathway that will take you to that sin again. So if there are videos on your computer, you need to go and delete them. You have CDs, you need to break them. If it's through an iPod, go and sell it. If you have internet at home and the internet is what's causing you haram, get rid of the internet. Your life will not come to an end. I remember Sheikh Hussein of the Sitar said something very beautiful once. He said that, get rid of internet from your homes. And if you feel like there is a need for internet, then go to the library and use it. And if you can't be bothered to go to the library and use it, that means it's not as important as you think it is. Is that fair or not? Yes? And off that advice, believe it or not, there was a year and a half to 2 years in my house. After I heard that advice, I didn't have internet in my house. For 2 years I did it. And it was the most beautiful 2 years I had in my life. So cut off all the pathways to that sin again. You have bad friends that make you smoke, get rid of those bad friends. You have bad friends that make you sin, get rid of those bad friends. And the last thing, last condition, for being forgiven, for pure tawbah and istighfar, is that if you violated anyone else's right, go and say sorry to that person before you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq and ability to ask for forgiveness in this blessed month, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exits us all from this blessed month forgiven and as newly born children. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahum wa bihamdik, nashadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka natubu ilayk, akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.